This episode is brought to you by Children of Virtue and Vengeance, the instant number one New York Times bestseller and stunning sequel to Tomi Adeyemi's novel Children of Blood and Bone. This sweeping fantasy series is described as Black Panther with magic, bringing both Black Lives Matter and Black girl magic into a fictional West African world inspired by Tomi's Nigerian roots. Join the phenomenon now and read it now. You and me will always be tight, family every single day and night. Even when you start acting like a fool, you know I'm loving every single thing you do. I know that I can always be myself around you more than anybody else. Every day as I'm heading off to school, you know there's no one I love as much as you. A family, family. Proud family, they'll push your buttons and make you want to hug them.
Yes.
Me and Noah have been watching Proud Family on Disney Plus.
Awesome.
You know.
I stand.
I was like, I got a black cartoon for you, boo.
Did you tell her that Beyonce singing the song?
You know I did. I said, no, I actually didn't tell her. I said, Cookie, who's that singing the theme song? So she stopped. And she listens. She goes, Beyonce. I said, and Solange and the rest of Destiny's Child. She was like, because, you know, she's in a DC phase right now.
That's awesome.
She actually sang Nasty Girl to Shari's girlfriend, Whitney, because I was looking for trash on my thing and my Instagram and all of that was on the screen. So Whitney had her Delta pictures come up, and so Noah stops and she goes, who's that? I said, that's mommy's friend Whitney. She said, why she look so sassy? Then I FaceTimed her. So she was like, Nasty, put some clothes on, I told you. I was like, this is problematic, but we'll talk about that later. Oh, gosh. Praise the Lord,
always
niggas.
Always an adventure with ASAP Noah.
Always.
It's hilarious. But yes, indeed. Praise the Lord, niggas. Welcome back to Getting Grown with Jade and Kia. I'm Kia.
I'm Noah's mom.
Yes, indeed. And we're back to talk about the scam that is adulting, the worst hood we've ever endeavored to live in.
Ever. The worst project.
Oh, my word. It is. We're going to talk about adulting, the good, the bad, the ugly, the test, the trials, the twists, the turns, the temptations, and the taxes. W-2s are coming in, ladies and gentlemen.
And the projects, fuck NYCHA.
Oh my gosh. Of 2020. So yes, we're gonna, we're here, we're back, we're excited to be back to talk about things with you all. I hope you're all doing well. How are you doing, sis?
I'm good. I you know, 2020 is coming in with a bang. So
well, bang, bang.
It's coming in with a bang. You know, lots of things happening. Prayers to our brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico with countless earthquakes. I was texting Santana to check on her. And
she's there?
Yeah. You know, she lives there. And so she's there currently and in town. And she was like, you know, as we were texting, she was like, I feel the earth shaking right now. Like, I feel the ground shaking. And it's just like countless earthquakes and people have lost their homes. They're having a lot of loss, especially on the southern part of the island. And so I actually have a link that I'm going to post in the description box. This is not the shout out, but I have a link I want to post in the description box because Santana will be going down to southern Puerto Rico this Friday to feed families who have lost their homes, provide hot meals and things, and they're taking donations. So I will have that link in the description box for you guys to check out. But with that being said, I'm grateful for the good things that are happening and, you know, count my blessings, especially when things like that are happening and affecting our loved ones. How are you?
I'm doing okay. But, you know, just to back up a little bit, I also want to shout out. I have some colleagues that work at the University of Puerto Rico, different campuses there, and they are also navigating I guess the circumstances surrounding the hurricanes, really impacted by the lack of power, and understanding that that has a lot to do with the fluctuations in government that have been going on. That's a kind of tender way to put it. But yeah, there, you know, the government there in Puerto Rico has been less than diplomatic around, you know, making sure that all the citizens of you know, the Commonwealth have what they need.
And it's the U.S. government. The U.S. government treats Puerto Rico like shit.
Yeah. But yeah, also, yes, but like, you know, the U.S. government, but the government leadership, like elected in office, the elected officials there as well. I mean, there's lots of things going on. We could actually probably have a show around that at some point, because people, we were, you know, people like to think of, you know, it's easy getting wrapped up and think, you know, there's lots more to Puerto Rico and a lot of the places that we like to visit than, you know, pretty water and, you know, tasty food. Like, there's lots of
tourism,
you know, we have to really, you know, think about ways that we might be allies to our sisters and brothers that are there and really dealing with terrible things. So again, thoughts and prayers and shout outs. And you know, if we have any listeners in Puerto Rico that listen to the show, let us know if there are other ways that we might be supportive, to you all, you know, in any small way that we might be able to. So hopefully you'll get something from the show that lifts your spirits and helps you to think about other things, for the time being. But yeah, other than that, I don't have any complaints. I'm doing okay. You know, just trying to get back into the swing of things, and moving along different projects for work and otherwise. So I'm good though. No complaints.
We've also reached the threshold, just if I may announce, we do not have to say Happy New Year anymore.
Just so for your information.
So feel very free to literally not say Happy New Year to me anymore for 2020.
I think what is the cutoff date? Like, is that a cutoff? Is there like
I've reached my personal cutoff.
I feel like it's okay if you haven't seen somebody.
That is true, and I've said it to maybe the 15th is the cutoff. Maybe the 15th. Let's say January 15th.
Martin Luther King's actual birthday.
Yes, Martin Luther King. Yes, Martin Luther King's birthday is the cutoff for Happy New Year, because then we need to focus on other things.
Yes, indeed. I think that's
so
fair.
So, but we also have some trash to focus on. So, shall we get into it?
Let's.
All right, clean up woman. A clean up woman. So we have some trash to get into. This week, I've started keeping the trash a little short. I think we're going to do, you know, maybe like a little 4 or 5 pieces and then, you know, keep it at that. Y'all read the news and the blogs and things. I'm sure there's a handful of you who follow the Shade Room. So, first and foremost, did you hear about Will? Did you listen to Will Smith's interview on Power 105 on The Breakfast Club?
Not yet. I feel like I've heard some snippets.
Okay.
But my intention is to listen to it. If not after we finish recording, definitely like by morning. It is definitely like in my queue. Because, you know, Martin and Will are on this press tour for Bad Boys.
Bad Boys 7.
Yeah. You know how, you know, Uncle Will is in that stage of life where you're going to get a lot more than what you ask him for. You know what I'm saying? He's reached that phase of black manhood where it's like, oh, I got advice, whether you want it or not. I know you didn't ask me for any of this, but you need
but here we are.
To know that I am wise and I know things. I think about things differently. And I mean, that's not a complaint. I'm here for all of Uncle Willard's musings, really and truly.
CMCM.
I am. But yes, I do actually plan. It's interesting, though. I will say it's interesting because, you know, on the clips that I have seen, Will goes off on this long tangent about, you know, existential life and thought and all of this new wisdom and all of this, you know, his this new vantage point and perspective, the way he sees the world different, and how him and Jada have all these in-depth conversations about what it means for them to do everything. And
child, you know, their house is one big red table.
Yes, but then like he'll go on and on and on and on and on, and Martin will just be like, yeah, you gotta be fearless.
And I'm he's just very like, Marshawn Lynch with it.
I'm just like, you gotta love it though. You have to love it, because he will just go on and on about all the books he's read and all the work that he's done and how much, you know, he'll just talk for literally 5 minutes about how, you know. And then Martin will be like, yep.
Yeah, real spit.
You gotta that, be that. Real relentless. And I'm just like, yo.
Yo, I love niggas so much.
So good.
Marshawn Lynch, one of my favorite. Listen, of all take time care of your chicken. Point. Okay, he's like, I gotta tell these young huckabuckers that you got.
So like,
you better, yes, you better remix niggas real quick and not say it. But Will, so everybody knows Will's messy. I mean, not Will, excuse me, Charlamagne's messy.
Oh, sweet God, what did he do?
You know, Charlamagne's messy. So Charlamagne, of course, asked Will if he was ever jealous of Jada and Tupac.
Oh.
Yes, of all things, because Charlamagne's messy, because that's what? Just what he does. Yes, child, he did.
I wonder if this was before or after the clip where he was like speaking life into Charlamagne. had to be
after.
Really?
Before? Maybe
it had
before.
To be before, because I could not see Will Smith saying to Charlamagne, "I'm proud of you and the work that you're doing."
And then Charlamagne,
turning around, right. Being like, asking so this what's question. Up?
You think they was fucking or?
Right. Like, tell me more.
So he says, so Charlamagne asked, were you ever jealous of the love Jada had for Tupac? Because we all know Jada is vocal about her and Tupac's relationship, their friendship. And so Will admitted, he said, yes, he was in the early days. He said, it's a big regret for me because I could never open up to interact with Pac. We had a little bit of a thing.
Oh.
He was like, you know, they grew up together. They never had a sexual relationship, but it could have been a possibility because they were coming of age. And he was like, you know, she loved him and he was the perfect image of, you know, of what she wanted in a man. But he was with the Fresh Prince. And he said when him and Pac would be in the same spaces, they wouldn't speak. So he was like, that's a huge regret of mine. You know, I was the soft rapper from Philly and he was Pop, so I was insecure and I wasn't man enough to handle their relationship.
Interesting,
right? I was like, oh, well, you know what, sometimes Charlamagne's mess leads us to some interesting things, but I applaud him for being able to admit that. That's not, you know, and our GGBs listen. So I want you all to chime in and tell us what you think about it. But I thought it was very big of him to be able, especially at this, you know, he's at this stage in his life. What is he? I've been with this woman for this many years. We got two whole ass, weird ass, wonderful, well-adjusted children. And so, which I love, by the way, I don't say that. I hope Noah is as weird as she wants to be. But I think it's dope that he was able to admit that he was not able to handle that relationship, because that's not something that a lot of people in general could do. Moving along.
Okay.
So I have this Lori Harvey keeps popping up all over everything lately, right?
Lord.
You know, and I'm noticing it's because she had a relationship with before Sean Puffy Combs. She was with or linked to Trey Songz.
Lori's been, you know, living her life.
Puffy's son.
Yeah, living her best
which
life.
I don't fully believe that. I feel like that was a farce so that she could date the daddy. And then when it became
appropriate
DK for her to date the daddy, that's when. But anyway, now she is with you all's problematic fave Future.
I mean, I can't say that I'm surprised.
No, I'm not either. Do your thing, baby girl. Live your life. You're 23. I too made many mistakes. None of
I
which
just hope that
were...
she is really intentional about birth control. That's all I want.
In whatever form that
I
comes
want her
in.
To be like doing, like she's got to be, I want her to have a Nouveau ring and be on the pill Yeah. And using condoms. Like, I just want.
I want her to treat her life like Accutane.
You gotta come at this thing from all angles, sis.
You really do. Two forms of birth control.
I mean, because. You
stay safe.
You, there, it's just.
Who? The man has bullet sperm.
And
do you hear
just,
me?
I mean, I just could not imagine anybody. And I say this with all due respect, no disrespect to any of our listeners who may have been in this, maybe in or have been in this situation, but I just can't imagine anybody volunteering to be baby mama number 9.
I'm sorry. Also, no disrespect.
I just can't. Literally, no, being bro, like, and like, this at this point, Future got like an offensive line worth.
Does
like he is out here?
No, he's got a starting five and then a backup.
You know, like he's got a bench.
Yeah, no, dead ass though.
So just so much.
I want you to just want better for you, for your babies. Like your baby deserves more than for you to be the 9th mother.
Future is not the first, and he won't be the last man who
has. Hell no.
You know, a brigade of baby mamas. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're, you know. But it is just interesting. It's interesting. But I feel like Lori knows exactly, like, she's not dumb. And I don't know what her end game is. Like, I don't know what she's aiming for. She's probably not thinking about that. But
she's 23.
You know, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And she's wealthy, you know, she's doing what she want to do.
AF, actually. And well, I didn't even bring her up to say she was dating Future.
Oh, okay.
I brought her up because on her actual birthday is when she was officially charged for that hit and run case that we spoke about a while ago.
Oh, dear.
So remember we talked about the hit and run case where she was texting and driving and hit a car and flipped and they had to pull her from the car and all of that.
How fast was she driving?
Child, I don't know, but she was texting. She was looking down. And then on top of that, she tried to flee the scene after.
Dang, Lori.
She tried to flee the scene after they pulled her from the car and was caught. So she was actually arrested for 2 charges, released on scene, not booked. And on her actual birthday is when all the charges hit her. So no alcohol was involved, and luckily they were misdemeanors and not felonies. But she got hit with them on her actual birthday. Damn. Y'all got to stop texting and driving. That's just not good. Mm. In some positive news,
we need it.
Trae Young, who plays for the Atlanta Hawks, he actually... He donated $10,000 via the Trae Young Foundation to help those in Atlanta who could not afford to get out of medical debt. And it went towards the National Consumer Law Center. So I guess, I'm sorry. It's a major deal because the National Consumer Law Center says that medical debt is the leading cause of bankruptcy in the United States. So he donated $10,000 and it ended up wiping out $1,059.186.39 in medical debt because the organization buys medical debt from collection agencies for a penny on the dollar. And so it's sold so that they can figure out a way to make more money than try to collect from the people who can't pay. So he donated $10,000 and it ended up helping 570 people in the Atlanta area who could not afford to get out of medical debt get out. So I thought that was beautiful.
That is nice.
And he's young. He was number 5 overall draft pick in the 2018 NBA draft. And now he's on his philanthropy and he's only 21 years old doing that. So I think that's beautiful. That's something that helps the community. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of us who can't afford to get out of medical debt. So I thought that was a really nice thing. And then also Charles Barkley, donated $1 million
because he can't keep his mouth shut. He keeps saying, he keeps saying terrible things, but I'm sorry.
Did he say something recently?
I don't know, child, probably, but what were you going to say?
Half the time I can't listen. He sounds like he got something in his throat. So I just have to,
he is just an insufferable man to be so wealthy.
He is very aggravating, but he put his wealth to good use.
Okay.
So he donated $1 million to HBCU's Miles College, which is an HBCU in Fairfield, Alabama.
Is that where he graduated? No.
I don't know. Think so. Probably not. But it is the single largest donation the school has received in 122
years.
Well,
that is good. Thank you, Charles.
So that's for the HBCU, not to shout you out, Charles Barkley.
Nice job, Chuck. I mean, I can give you where, you know.
We'll give you accolades.
You know what I'm saying?
We'll give you your accolades. Trick Daddy.
Oh.
Okay. The Raisinette was arrested for cocaine possession and a DUI warrant.
Now that mugshot made its way around the internet.
Baby, did they turn the wigs around? Like, what was going on there?
My guess is that,
is this like the sideburn that ended up somewhere on the temple?
I just want him to let it go. But someone sent me a, cause I didn't even. So, like, there are things, right, that you see on the internet and it's crazy. But and people laugh, you know, because, I mean, his whole ceiling is, in fact, missing. Like, that's not something that's up for debate. Like,
no, it's yeah.
But when I reposted it, it wasn't like, hey, guys, let's look at this. I was like, man, I was really shocked that, you know, Trick Daddy was looking like that because... You know, I understand. My mom used to say, you know, you live hard, you look hard. But I just...
Not even that. I feel like his evil is eating itself out outside of his body.
I just felt bad. Like, I was honestly taken aback by the way that he looked. Like, I was like, you know, I don't know exactly how old Trick Daddy is, but he was looking like 50 miles of rough road.
Well, you know he has lupus and he denies treatment.
Exactly.
And, I wish, like, if... I know the PC thing would be, you know, to say I wish him well.
Why does he deny treatment?
I don't know, but that nigga's evil in the inside. And so therefore, I don't care. Like, that's just my honest opinion. He has said heinous, awful things about black women. And I am not here. And when he is like very wrong and strong. So he stands in his shit and he says it and he's like, you know, like I said it. So I said what I said very neatly, you know, Nene Leakes, very moose like. So I don't really subscribe to him anymore. And it's sad, you know, because I'd love to hit him in the head with a honey bun. But Trick Daddy has said awful things. And so, therefore, I feel like his evil is eating itself outside of his body.
Well, I mean, there's clear... To me, I feel like there must be other things going on that would... Now, I'm not at all excusing or caping for the terrible things that he said. I don't even feel like I have any real knowledge of that. But I completely trust and believe you when you say that he has said those things. That does not surprise me. Still in all, I maintain that he clearly... Like, he doesn't look well. He looks ill, and I don't, you know, and he looks like he's in pain and dealing with a lot of different things. So I don't know. I was very shocked and saddened to see, like, this is quite a fall from grace.
Sure is. Life will come at you real quick. Get it together, nigga. Tighten up. What'd you tell black women to do? Tighten up. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what he told black women to do. Tighten up. So tighten up, nigga. Beyonce collaborated with Ivy Park collaborated with Adidas.
Uh-huh, sure did.
And we have been seeing all of the gift. What are these small homes that are being delivered to people's
being tractor trailers?
Yo, these
filled
are like,
with clothing.
What are them things called? What are the things people rent? Pods? Is that when they're doing construction on the crib?
Somebody could probably live in that thing if they needed to.
Beyonce's literally dropping U-Hauls off at people's house full of clothes, and I'm jealous. And there are pieces that I want, and there are pieces that I know I would never wear. I have no reason to wear a couture Adidas ball gown to anything. But I want it.
Oh, we love you. We stand. The queen.
I want it. We do. So, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't. And then lastly, It was 60 degrees in January. Mother Earth is definitely
here in DC.
Child, 65 and to be exact.
I don't know, and I hope. Listen, I'll just say it like how my granddaddy says it. Get right, church.
Okay.
And let's go home. He's coming.
That's about
He's coming. He's coming. He's on his way. Get your house in order. Do it today, honey.
Yo, me and Tristan looked at each other and we were like, nigga, I have never in
my life. I have to say, on Sunday, because I served at church on Sunday, we sing all three services when I sing. The first service is at 7:15 a.m. We have to be at the church by 6:30. So I leave my house by 6 a.m. in order for me to be there on time. And I was leaving out yesterday. And I really had a moment in the car because, you know, this is before the sun is up. It's January, early January. Not only is it 70 something degrees, but it's very foggy. There's a lot of mist and stuff in the air. Not a lot of people on the roads. I'm driving. It's dark. And I'm just literally in the car like, yo, like this is something out of a movie. Like, what is happening? The air just felt really odd and strange. And I was like, whoa, I don't really know what's happening, but I'm on my way to church. I'm just going to get there because this joint feels like, I don't know what's happening, but I just want to be in the right place at the right time.
I feel you. 60 something degrees. I have never seen it be 60 something degrees in January.
And it was warm everywhere. Like, it was warmer. Like, my mom said that it was really, like, it had storms, and she said, even she was like, Kia, in all of my days I've never experienced rain and wind like that. She was like, it wasn't like tornado winds, but she was like, I could literally feel the house moving. Like, nah, I was like, she was like, you know, the windows were rattling, and, you know, you feel like that kind of wind where you feel like you need to open a window or one of them joints is going bust.
Yeah, Wizard of Oz wind.
So, I don't know, man. There's lots of things happening across the globe. And it's just a time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you turn on the TV, you hear all kinds of things are going on, all kinds of places. I don't know, man. I'm just in a different place of just paying attention and trying to be ready for anything.
Mother Earth, I will say to you, I apologize on behalf of what all
I apologize the evil... to Father Time. Yes. Please continue.
Also, Father Time. Well, all the evil white men started, because I know they came over here and with their foolishness and started doing things that impacted where we are today. And so I apologize on their behalf. All I ask is that when you choose to swallow us up, please do it when I am in a deeply THC and CBD induced coma sleep. That way, it'll hit me real, you know, I'll just be real heavy and I won't feel it. That's all I'm asking when you swallow us. So, you know, I get it. I understand that you are purging because people haven't done you right. And what can we say at this point?
Well,
we apologize. So, that's that on that. Y'all get right with whoever you need to get right with. And just know the end of days are coming because it was 65 degrees in January. We got some shout outs to get to, though. So let's get some positivity.
Oh, man. What a time.
My sis is popping right now. Like.
All righty, friends. We have actually a couple of shout outs this week. So I came across one in the email from a little while back, but I realized we had not missed the cutoff. So I said, let me go ahead and make sure we get this in. And they say, Hi, Jade and Kia. I hope this message finds you both well. I'm writing in as one of the black men who's an avid Getting Grown listener. Hey. Yes, we do exist. I started listening about a year ago once I turned to the friend zone after a long break. And then, you know, let us know how he was familiar with us and say he loves the show. He knew he was our people when we said adulting was a scam, because it is.
True.
He said, I finally established my foundation, the Ash Academy, and each episode became more and more timely as I tuned in each week. Plus, when Jade opens the show singing in whatever key her spirit guides her to, thank you very much. I appreciate every episode from the trash to the petty peeves and beyond. Thank you both. So the Ash Academy, after 10 years of development, I finally started the Ash Academy in early 2018 to help bridge the access gap for students of color pursuing the arts and STEM fields. Our programs are parental engagement workshops, representation-focused mentorships, social good partnership benefiting the community beyond education, and eventually annual scholarships. The Black Entrepreneur Expo and Mixer, they're hosting their inaugural Black Entrepreneur Expo and Mixer February 8th, 2020 at the historic Watts Coffee House in LA, where we're highlighting small black and brown businesses and holding two panels of black professionals. First, professionals in the arts discussing the good, the bad, and the ugly of the pursuit of the career. Additionally, we're holding a discussion with STEM professionals on their path to their careers and the common misconceptions. So, they have vendor and advertising opportunities open. And we wanted to shout out their event. So we'll be sure to put all of the information in the description box where you'll be able to get the fee, where you can purchase and all of those things. And also the website, which is theashacademy.org.
Where is and it that is,
okay. It's going to be in LA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, in LA. And I believe the cutoff is January 20th. So you all have about 8 days or so to get to it. And again, all of the information will be in the description box, as well as the website, theashacademy.org. So thank you, Samuel, for writing, and congratulations on your event. And you guys make sure to check that out. Please. If you're in the LA area. I think that's dope. And then our second shout out is actually someone who's near and dear to my heart, my good boo, Crystal Miller. You can find her at Brooklyn Knots on Instagram. So she finger crochets scarves, headbands, beanies, and blankets. She did a Peppa Pig crochet hat for Noah some time back. She used to focus on traditional crocheting for the past 26 years and then started finger crocheting back in 2017. She's made and donated over 100 scarves for the homeless, giving them out personally or donating them to the Bowery Mission. And she takes custom orders at brooklynknots@gmail.com. Crystal was also featured on the Shade Room earlier.
Very nice.
I received the link and I thought that was pretty dope because that's a lot of exposure. So that is my boo, and she is a beast with it. When I tell you she is a beast with it, she's a beast with it. So make sure you check her out for your custom crochet knits. She is beyond talented and does it all by hand. So I will put all of her information in the description box as well.
Right on.
And those are our shout outs this week.
Hooray! Hooray! If we care about the ingredients in the food we eat and the beauty products we use, why shouldn't the same be true of feminine care products? Introducing Lola, a female founding company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and biodegradable all-natural cleansing wipes. The company was established based on the idea that women shouldn't have to compromise when it comes to feminine care products. Major brands use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their feminine care products and may also be treated with harsh chemical cleansing agents, fragrances, or dyes. But Lola products are 100% organic cotton. They offer complete transparency about their ingredients and are easy to feel good about. Plus, Lola products come in a simple, customizable, and flexible subscription, delivering exactly what you need when you need it. You can even tailor your subscription based on product type, absorbency, quantity, and frequency. Plus, Lola cares. They donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S. for every purchase. So we all, you know, have that time of the month, and we all know how much of a pain it can be trying to manage, you know, all the products that we need and use. But what I really love about Lola is that, you know, like they said, that flexible subscription, you really can just go in there and, you know, click and select all the things that you need when you need them. Mm-hmm. And they literally deliver them right to your door. And I really absolutely love the fact that they also donate to homeless shelters. And I mean, you have to be serious about what you put in your purse, girl.
Ooh,
let's just be honest. We can't just be putting anything in our purses.
No dirty coins.
And that's right. And so you keep your purse off the floor and you keep other people out of it. That's your purse. Either way.
For 30% off your first month subscription, you can visit MyLola.com and enter the code GROWN30 when you subscribe. That's MyLola.com, code GROWN30.
All right, bet. Welcome back to the kitchen table. We're talking about all the grown folks' business. You know,
yes, we are.
Things like mail and chores and what happened at work today.
The end of the world.
So, Jade and I are going to have a conversation about tradition. I know many of you have heard or seen, it's kind of very prevalent in the news right now, that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have elected to step down from their responsibilities and privileges as royals. Move themselves and their family, little baby Archie, out of the country to work and build their own wealth. And this announcement has kind of rocked the world. I was going to say the nation, but like literally globally, this has been a topic of conversation. And it put us in the mind of you know, like, you know, just in, I guess we're adding to that conversation in terms of thinking about how people have been reacting. So I've seen some people are really inspired by what Harry and Meghan are choosing to do in terms of, you know, stepping outside of what they are expected, the roles that they are expected to occupy. And, you know, with respect to Meghan and their Meghan being a woman of color, and, you know, being really marginalized and mistreated by the media in the UK and otherwise, I've seen some of the comparisons between the way that people have talked about,
Kate,
William and Kate, and the, you know, the way that, you know, compared to how they treat Meghan and scrutinize everything that she does and literally like misread, misinterpret, you know, just take any and every occasion to be critical and not, you know, and hurtful and just mean to her. So
every time that girl breathes, then people got a problem.
You know, not too differently from the ways that, you know, Michelle Obama was ragged by the media here in this country. So, but that's neither here nor there. Like I was saying, some people are really, you know, applaud them for making this decision. We also know that, you know, Harry and Meghan were doing all kinds of mission work and philanthropy and working, you know, in South Africa and, you know, really seeing this as kind of like a boss move for them to kind of deny themselves of some of the privileges of being a royal, and just really build their own family, their own legacy in their own way.
Yep.
Other people are, you know, offended.
Up in arms.
Yes. Offended and angry and angsty and mad. And really just, yeah. I don't know how else to say it. They're big mad.
They're big mad.
They feel like this is, you know, this disrespectful to disappoint the queen, and the queen doesn't approve and all of this other. So I have to say personally, I don't know. I don't know. I don't feel like I know enough about that life and culture to have an opinion that, you know, that would really matter. I do think it's dope. I do feel like we should give them the benefit of the doubt though. Like, I don't feel like many of us understand and know what it's like to be a royal.
I know I don't.
And as such, you know, I think it's fair for them to be able to opt out if they would like to.
Absolutely. And I think it's actually, it exhibits a level of integrity because they're saying that they don't want to live off of the taxpayers' dollar. So, you know, part of a lot of the backlash that they've gotten since, you know, marrying and whatnot is that, you know, they're people are saying, oh, they're benefiting off the taxpayers' dollars. So when Meghan was in not in labor, but when she was pregnant and she was making her maternity plans. They called her plans grandiose, mm-hmm. and she's using up the money of the country and so forth and so on. And now that they've decided that they would like to be more independent, people are like, oh, they still have a problem with it. So they got a problem with everything that they do. But like Kia said, we thought it would be a good opportunity to take the discussion a little further. We don't have anything super formulated or drafted out, but I brought to mind a conversation about traditions and when is it okay to maybe break family tradition.
Break family tradition, step outside of tradition, mm-hmm. choose to do another thing, and then not necessarily, even if it means like, you know, one is better than the other, but just making a different choice. What are some of the pressures beyond, how do you navigate those pressures? How do you make the decision to do so if that's something that you want to do? So just thinking, you know, cause I mean, as we get older and things change, I think this is something that has come up at least once for us. And then will mm-hmm. certainly continue to come up in the future. So Jade, give me an example of something that you, a tradition or a common practice or something that your family expected you to do, whether it be with regards to like your parenting choices or even some of the lifestyle choices that you make. Give me an example of something that you do that might be outside of or different to what your family would do. And like, tell me about what that experience has been like.
Well, on a deeper level, if I'm going to be candid, and I think I've mentioned it, I don't practice or worship in the same way as my family. And that, you know, it's definitely not a negative. It's not a diss or anything to what anybody does by any means. And I've never spoken negatively. I will never speak negatively about any, you know, how anybody chooses to worship, pray, what have you. But it's caused quite a bit of dissension and stir with my family.
Mm-hmm.
We get to, you know, we have places where we are a little bit more even keeled. Me and my sister have a good relationship. We've always been a little distant, like had a little level of distance to us, but always like very deep love. Me and my sister love each other very deeply. And we speak a lot more often, I have to say now. But there was a period of time where we didn't talk very much. And it's caused a lot of tension within the family with me choosing to do something different. Or not even different, just to not do things the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been one of the things that has kind of created a negative stir within our family of choosing to go a different direction.
So was there ever a time where you felt like you needed to make a change? Where you felt like, you know, did you come to a crossroads, so to speak, where it was like, I'm either going to do what they expect mm-hmm. or I'm not?
Yeah, because it was difficult for a long time. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, all right, you all want me to do this thing. You know, you need to go to church on these days and Bible study and so forth and so on. And again, that's not speaking negatively about those things. But when you are practicing in whatever way you choose, or when you're practicing within a faith, and I'm using that as an example because this is not just about religion. When you're practicing a certain way, but you're doing it for other people and not for yourself, then why are you doing it?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Spiritual things are very sacred and should be very sacred to individuals. And I feel like there needs to be a level of respect when it comes to that. You should allow people to have that freedom to do as they want. But when you are doing things because you feel like you're doing them out of obligation for loved ones or to keep peace or what have you, it's not coming from a sincere and genuine place. And so, you know, I struggled with that for a while between, well, you know, I don't really know if this is what I want to be doing, but I want to have a good relationship with my family. So maybe if I do these few things, then, you know, that will at least bridge that gap and we'll be able to have a better relationship. And then I realized that wasn't authentic. And so I was like, if I choose not to do those things, that doesn't mean that I don't love you all. It just means that I'm just not doing this thing. And that should be okay. We can still love each other, because I'm not ever going to speak down on anything that gives you what you need. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's what it's been.
I'll say that, I don't know. My experience has not necessarily been that, I don't feel like I've yet to like literally fundamentally disagree, around, you know, major things with my family. Mm-hmm. I think my kind of, I guess the differences for me lie with respect to like approach. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the ways that decisions are made, or the way, you know, just me kind of finding a way to stand on my own too and make my own decisions, and that kind of being different than how things are done in my family. So, you know, I can say that my mom, I think her expectation was for me to do everything that she did. So, mm-hmm. You know, she stayed and lived with my grandparents until she got married. So when I came to her and told her that I wanted to move out, it was a bit of a thing. Mm-hmm. So I think what has been, I guess, so it's been for me, I've been trying to like find ways to kind of balance my own choices and think about my own choices with respect to my family. Mm-hmm. And try to find ways to kind of negotiate how I move forward in ways that kind of, you know, equip me to kind of stand on my own 2 feet and enforce my own decision making as an adult, but like you said, still with respect to what, you know, my family beliefs and values might be. Mm-hmm. I think another thing that should be noted or considered in this conversation though is that I think a lot of Megan and Harry's decision to make this move is rooted in feelings of safety. I get mm-hmm. the impression that Megan didn't want to raise her child in the space and culture where under such a degree and level of, like, you know, scrutiny and being in the public mm-hmm. eye and being open to so much critique. Mm-hmm.
Especially since she herself,
yeah, like
it was open season for her, and it was such a short amount of time.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, things have to be considered in context, right? So like, I think all of this has kind of exposed how much we have growing and changing we have to do as a society and culture. Like, it's clear that society and culture in the UK was not ready for a biracial, for Harry to marry a biracial woman.
Marry a black girl, period. Child.
Yeah.
Right.
To marry a woman with a black mama.
Like, okay.
So, very black mama. It's clear that they weren't. And I mean, I'm sure she thought that it wouldn't be as bad, but when she got in it and realized, you know, that it was, she needed to make a decision not only for her, but for her child. So I could see her being like, if they're doing this to me, I would never want my son to grow up in a world, in a space where he's not allowed to be a person, an individual, and do all of the things that come with being a black man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because my son is going to be a black man.
My son's going to be a black man. Like, whether y'all like it or not.
This conversation is not even to say that you know, we want y'all to go out there and get rogue and break all your family traditions. It's more so. So I spoke to Kia before we recorded this evening. I don't know how many of you all have seen the episode of Black-ish. I'm going to give spoilers. Mm-hmm. So here's a warning, but I don't understand anybody who would get upset about spoilers about Black-ish. You know what I'm saying? It's not the next Marvel movie. I didn't disclose nothing crazy. So in the latest episode of Black-ish that I saw, it was, you know, there's always lessons that they have. And so you've got, you know, they had the hair lesson. So Diane was going through the black hair lesson that you deal with as a black girl, from the relaxer and accepting your hair. And, you know, your hair is beautiful in any state as long as you take care of it, which was a beautiful thing. And then, you know, you always have Dre, who has something going on over here. So it's funny that that was the last episode that I saw, because Dre, so what they were talking about with the Dre situation is Dre was trying to teach his son, the baby. What's his name?
Junior?
Not Junior, the other one. Jack.
Oh, I don't know.
Jack. I love Black-ish. So he was teaching Jack. He wanted to teach him about the tradition of barbecuing and everything that came along with that. The stories, the hanging out, the being over the pit, the sweat, like the entire experience. Junior had some newfangled smoker where you can put your meat inside of it and you can leave it and you don't have to attend to it at all. And he was telling his father, I have all this free time to go do all these things because I get to put my meat in here and my food's going to be better than yours. So they bet whose barbecue was going to be the best. And then they had Jack and the grandpa do the clothes, you know, the blind taste test. Mm-hmm. And the conclusion was that both of their barbecue was good. They even said Junior's was a little bit better. However, Junior realized that in the conversation where they were going through all of this and this sparring, he realized that he missed like a pertinent piece of info about his father's background that he shared with Jack while they were barbecuing. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you never told me that. And he's like, Jack was like, well, if you wouldn't have gone off to Dave and Buster's and left your meat, you was gloating about how you can go and play whack-a-mole, but you and leave your meat, but then you missed out on this part of it. So I say all that to say, I've tied that in because traditions can be a super beautiful thing.
Yeah, and there's value in them. So it's not about just absolutely like throwing them away entirely.
No.
I mean, and even if there are some quote unquote faster or more efficient or quicker methods mm-hmm. for getting to, you know, the same result, there is something to be said for the process of, you know, the way things used to be.
Absolutely. So I found an article that spoke about traditions and breaking family traditions. And the article speaks on, you know, the beautiful relationship of family traditions, right, whether it be food or events, decoration, songs, anything that gives you that nostalgic feeling. Right. But sometimes you need a break from that. And it said, here are some of the reasons that you may need a break from those traditions, or some things that you want to think about when you're feeling like you want to make a change. When a tradition becomes an obligation, it's time to rethink its purpose. You should want to participate in and follow a tradition and not feel bound by it or inconvenienced. When a tradition becomes a fallback or an excuse not to try anything new, then it's time to consider a change or at least a tweak. When a tradition becomes a financial burden or time constraint that causes more anxiety than joy, it's okay to give it a break. When you find yourself feeling compromised because you must follow a tradition that's no longer meaningful or makes you feel uncomfortable, maybe you need to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Or when a tradition no longer fits your lifestyle, it may be time to create a new tradition better suited to the life you now have.
Right. And it doesn't have to be, you know, in a way that's judgmental of the way that you used mm-mm. to do it or anything like that. But sometimes just taking a break or doing things differently for 1 year might show you that, you know, maybe you just need a pause instead of a heartbreak. Because I can say one of the things that I know, like my family, we grew up on road trips. Mm-hmm. Like literally getting in a car, or my church used to take like bus trips in the summertime, literally just get a group of people on a charter bus and drive all over the country for a few weeks in the summertime. And it sounded crazy, right? People were not like, you guys get on a bus. And it was like, but
Like, you could just fly there and it would be so much easier. And that's very true, right? So, like, you know, that's not a lie. It would be more efficient. It would be more comfortable if we flew. But there was this great value in us bonding together. And there's great memories in us, you know, stopping at different restaurants and different attractions along the way. And that is kind of a practice that I would hope to carry on with the family if I have one, one day, you know, even though by the time that happens, we could be able to teleport ourselves to places. But I do think that there is, I do feel, you know, I even like, you know, like I said, you know, for the holidays, like, you know, I travel a lot for work and I was on a plane, like 40 something planes this year. And it was a lot. And I mean, I don't get me wrong. I know how to fly. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm good at it. I can do it. I know what I'm doing when it comes to get on an airplane. But when I had the opportunity, like it was not something that I regretted at all. But I had the opportunity to drive to my mom's and literally just being in the car by myself and taking that road trip for myself gave me time to kind of sit and process. It gave me time to think. It gave me time to listen to my music and my shows and catch up on things. Gave me time to, you know, talk on the phone to people I hadn't talked to in a long time. And, you know, gave me fond memories of thinking about the times when my brother and I made the trip and, you know, those kinds of things. So, like, I hadn't driven to Nashville since before Brian passed. And it was kind of like our practice to do it together. So I wondered whether or not I was going to be able to do it again. But, you know, it was a way for me to be a part of that practice differently. So, you know, just saying, I'm just thinking like in terms of life circumstances change. And sometimes the things that we think will be traditions or common practices or things that we always did, right? Things may not always be the way they always were. There will be times where you have to make different sacrifices and choices for your own safety and well-being and for the safety and well-being of your kids or the people that you're connected to. But it doesn't always have to be like, you know, this tragic, selfish, you know, venture. Sometimes it just could just be a different choice. So I guess, you know, for me, it's like, I have a softer heart for Megan. And I don't know if that's just by virtue of the ways that I've seen people, you know, rag on her. But I look at this as kind of like, Megan wouldn't step down from being a princess, literally, unless it was really hard for her to do it.
Because I know I wouldn't.
Because there's people who are arguing that, you know, like, if things are so terrible and if racism is such a problem, couldn't she have used the platform of being a royal? And I'm like, nah, that's not how culture works, right? So, like, culture does not respond. Like, you know, people respond. Changing a culture, changing an ethos, changing an environment, it takes time and it has to be a collaborative effort. Megan and Harry and all of their awesome and wonderful intentions. And in the fact that they are right, right? Like, that doesn't even matter in terms of changing the common, you know, cultural beliefs in a place. So sometimes it's just better to get out, right? And that might be it too. Like, maybe it's like, you know.
And sometimes you don't take your baby away from the bullshit.
Yeah, and that's just it.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing at all. Not one thing.
Not a thing.
Not one thing.
Sometimes I just don't. You know what? I don't want my baby around y'all.
That's it.
And so I'm leaving, okay?
That's really the bottom line.
And that's all right. And black mothers have been doing it for years. You know what I'm saying? Black mothers been getting their baby away from the bullshit for years. Get off that girl's titties. Like, leave her alone. I don't even cape for Meghan Markle like that. I don't even, to be perfectly honest, I don't know enough.
That's
about
what I'm
Meghan
saying.
Markle.
Like, and I, like, we talked about before how disconnected I was to the whole royal wedding and all of that stuff. You know, I thought it was dope. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's a black woman in that spot, that's never happened before. You know, let's celebrate it. But I did not invest enough to know any of this. But when I see, you know, the backlash and...
We had some technical difficulties yesterday at the end of the Kitchen Table Talk segment. But I believe you all got a full Kitchen Table Talk. You're still going to get a full show. So we're going to just continue on with these last three segments. And yeah, we love y'all for rocking with us.
Indeed. So what's going on in the honesty box?
Yes, let's get to the honesty box. It's officially engagement season, apparently. And if you're thinking of popping the question or currently planning your wedding, you need to check out Zola. Zola makes wedding planning easier and less stressful with wedding websites, registry invites, and a guest list manager all in one place. Zola lets you easily design and create wedding websites for free with hundreds of gorgeous designs to choose from. Zola's online registry is the highest rated of all time with all the benefits you and guests want, including free shipping and returns, price matching, and group gifting. You can also find beautiful and affordable invites in paper, including save the dates and thank yous. Zola will even help you collect addresses and track online RSVPs with their free guest list manager. Zola's helped 1 million couples get married, and they'll help you too. So I had a friend use Zola, and she used it for her wedding registry. It's where we got all the information for the wedding. I wish I knew about Zola when I got married, because I'm still finding little baby notebooks all around the house with little budgets and things. I had to write stuff in, details, tracking numbers and all of that. Zola would have been super helpful for me. So if you're planning your wedding this wedding season, whenever that is, then try out Zola. Go to Zola.com/grown today and use promo code SAVE50 to get 50% off your save the dates. You can also get a free personalized paper sample before you purchase. That's 50% off save the dates at Zola.com/grown. Promo code SAVE50.
This year, tackle high interest credit card debt with Upstart, the revolutionary lending platform that offers smarter rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. And since it's a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or to meet their other financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/grown to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. Check out upstart.com/grown.
Honestly, truly.
Okay. It says, hello, ladies. Thanks for hosting a space where women of color can come to grow professionally while keeping it real. My question is, how do I ask my colleague to stop interrupting me when she is a step above me in the company? I work in clinical operations, coordinating an international research study. I've always worked in research, but am new to this company and have taken the approach of putting my head down and typing as quickly as I can to learn the ins and outs. I've been observant of my team and get along very, very well with my boss, yet I'm having a hard time with my interrupting colleague. I work closest with this colleague and she's been training me, but I've noticed she's short-tempered and interrupts everyone on calls, meetings, and even when I'm about to ask a question. I feel it comes from a place of considering her opinions as most correct, because even when we're casually talking about how the weekend was, she makes judgy comments. I don't want to stereotype, but I notice this happens a lot with another colleague who is French as well. I'm tired of being run over at meetings. Help. My mama taught me God gave me two ears and one mouth to listen twice as much as I speak, but I can't even get a word in. Sincerely, tired.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is tough. And I think this is a matter of, not really tough, but tough in that, like, you know, you're going to have to put on your big girl panties. I mean, if it were me, I feel like it's just something that has to be addressed. And it's just about how you address it. I would make a point to, I don't know if I would do it like in the moment as it happens. I think I would, if it were me, like if we were a meeting and she interrupted, I would first, my first course of action would be to mention that I notice it and to have like solid examples of, you know, what happened, to let that person know how you feel. And then just kind of, you know, gauge her response. My guess is that she'll probably like, you know, I don't know. I shouldn't guess. I mean, I feel like it could go one of two ways. She could like not even realize that this is something that she's doing and be like super apologetic and say that she'll be more mindful. Or she can just totally like be dismissive of whatever it is that you have to say. In which case, I think the course of action is to be diligent, to keep a track, keep a record of your conversations with her. If the first time, you know, she's dismissive, I would inform my supervisor, and I would address I would address her again, but I wouldn't do so myself.
No,
like I would have a witness or
someone
to just hear the conversation. You know, just a third party. And I would ask my boss that if it is something that if the conversation goes left, I would inform my boss and then probably ask her for her advice around how to navigate the challenge.
I guess that is the professional way of handling that.
I do feel like, you know, it has to like it has to be said. I think I would err on the side of being thoughtful. Mm-hmm. And you know, intentional about setting a time to do it, versus just like doing it in the moment. Because I feel like when you do it in the moment, you know, you do kind of call it out right there in front of everyone and put on the spot. But I think also in that instance, like your emotions are going to be involved and you putting her on the spot so she can get defensive and her emotions can get involved. And it's all the makings of a big blow up.
Unless.
Okay.
Excuse me. Please. Unless, excuse me. You see how that works, lady? See, I agree with you that people can get defensive, but my concern, I guess, I have with addressing it later. If you do what Kia said, because she's absolutely right, solid examples of the time she does it, if you want to start building a little record, then that'll definitely help you out. But I also feel like addressing it in the moment, but doing it, do it like they do, passive aggressively. So in that moment, somebody interrupts you and you're speaking and you're in a meeting because you said she does it in meetings. I would say, excuse me. And then I would continue on with my point. Excuse me. Thank you. And I would just continue on with my point. But I definitely think that talking to your boss would help for sure.
I wouldn't involve my boss unless I tried to address mm-hmm. her and she was not receptive to that conversation. Mm. I would then, you know, be like, okay, so I'm trying to go about this the right way.
But this lady is not cooperating.
And I wouldn't too much worry about, you know, rank or, you know, mm-hmm. the fact that she's over you or anything like that. The bottom line is, regardless of whatever our respective titles might be, we're all human beings. We're all people. We all deserve to be respected, and no one should be talked over. And that's just the bottom line. But a lot of times, and I have had this experience, a lot of times people are just used to feeling like they're the smartest person in the room. And sometimes you got to show them better than you can tell them mm-hmm. that they are not.
Yep. And show them that you got more manners.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people are just, they can be tragically rude and just disgusting. But I commend you for, you know, seeking some counsel. I hope that what we've offered to you is helpful. Please keep us posted and let us know how things shake out with this, you know, disrespectful coworker that you mm-hmm. have. And let's see if we can get her tucked back in, because she's all out here in the way. I don't like it. I don't care for it personally.
Let's put our Spanx on, man.
I mean, suck it in, okay. Sis. Tighten
let's
it up.
Put our Spanx on and get it together.
You're just all out here.
And you might need a slip too.
Please.
We hope
we don't like that.
I hope that was helpful. Keep us updated. If you know, start to keep your record and keep us updated. Let us know how that works out for you. But yeah, like Kia said, don't worry about position and all of that. This is about basic human respect and
decency.
She shouldn't be interrupting you. And it I think it's well within your right to address it. But just do it non-confrontationally, because you know when we put a tone on anything, listen, you know how they like to do.
I just feel like you go above board. You know what I mean? You keep things above board at first. Now, if things go left, then there is record that you tried to do this
diplomatically,
according to the code of conduct as outlined. That's what my mama used to tell me when my brother got into it with Joe Bennett in his fourth grade class.
I thought you were going to say Joe Clark.
No, Rhonda told Ryan, you tell Mr. Asuma, the teacher's name was Mr. Asuma, you tell Mr. Asuma that this boy is bothering you and he needs to put a stop to it. And if he does not put a stop to it, you tell Mr. Asuma that I said you have permission to go upside his head. And that's just how I feel.
That's
Rhonda said, like, you have to, like, we abide by the rules. But if you, if you're not allowing me to do that.
My dad said the same thing to Mr. Glassell.
I don't have no other choice but to go upside his head.
That's it.
I'm not telling you to hit this woman.
No, not at all.
That's not what I mean.
Please
I'm
don't.
Just saying,
you'll lose your job.
You know? Please don't. I'm just giving that as an analogy that, you know, we do things correctly the first way. I mean, you try, your first approach should be the right way. But if that don't get you where you need to be.
Figuratively hit them upside the head.
You know what I'm saying? That means that you call a thing a thing.
And get her together.
Tactfully, but very directly.
Oh, and also don't talk to her about your weekends and shit. She said if she makes judgy comments about... Don't talk to her about just keep it all the way business. And just stay, because she sounds like a problem.
She does. And I mean, just, like you be friendly to people who show themselves to be friendly. So if she's not being friendly with you, then I'm not telling you to be rude to her. But you don't have to sit around and make pleasantries with people who you don't like.
You ain't got to tell them about your weekend. You don't have to tell them what kind of car
you
drive.
You can be nice and cordial and respectful and engaging, but you can have a boundary. Like, oh, we don't talk about those kinds of things.
Don't share your plug.
It don't even have to be spoken. You just excuse yourself. Yep. That's all. Oh, okay. See you.
Okay. Good morning. Hello. How was everybody? Okay. Great. Wonderful. I'm gonna go to my desk now. Like, that's it. Well, hope that was helpful. Please keep us updated and continue to send your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com. We shall move swiftly along to the Black woman self-care.
All right.
I deserve.
It's time for us to deserve. So in Black woman self-care this week, this may not sound like traditional self-care, but it is for me because it started to set up my peace of mind. So the beginning of the year hit me like a truckload of bricks, and you know, all of the things that need to be done. The holiday season, you know, it ends abruptly, and that's when you realize you're back in the real world. So I, you know, made a list of everything that needs to be done and started giving myself deadlines and timelines and writing them down in my planner. And I'm an analog girl. Shout out to Toya. I'm an analog girl, so I need to write things down. So I started organizing myself, getting myself together in my planner, giving myself, like I said, timelines and deadlines. I'm giving myself this many days, trying to give myself realistic timelines to work with so that I'm not stressing myself with overnight deadlines or what have you. And just getting myself set up for success for the remainder of the year, because it's going to be a lot of work going on. So I considered that my, including my new workout schedule, okay? Started, we're going in the mornings. I'm meeting Frenequa and, you know, trying to get my life together so that, like I said, I'm able to run. So, away really quickly if I need to. So that's my Black woman self-care this week. I started getting myself set up and it feels good because it feels like I'm giving myself a nice, healthy pace at which to do things.
Awesome. For me, I had a follow-up appointment at the doctor's last week, and I noticed that my blood pressure was not at all high, but it's higher than it normally was. So I inquired about it, and The doctor mentioned that he felt it was a result of, you know, me being worried about what I was at the doctor's for. Mm-hmm. So he instructed me to just kind of monitor it and watch it. And that's something that, you know, I've been intentional about doing this week. And like reading up on just kind of understanding how blood pressure works, and what are some just everyday practices and things that kind of keep it regulated. Mm-hmm. So I did a little research and, you know, all the things that we know to do that I probably just wasn't doing. Like when my blood pressure was taken, I hadn't eaten that day. I hadn't really had anything to drink. I was probably dehydrated. And that compounded with like my anxiety around the doctor's appointment is probably what made it read higher than it normally does. So since that time, I've just been really conscious about kind of in the morning being a bit more diligent about having a routine in terms of like setting, mm-hmm. getting my body started. Because I don't typically breakfast. And it's something that I probably need to.
Yeah.
Be better about. I don't really like breakfast food, but I don't know, whatever. Either way, I at least try to have some water and, you know, just something to eat in the morning. A cup of tea. That's not food.
No, okay, it's not.
So like, you know, what have I been eating? Fruit, mm-hmm. Granola bars, like a half a sandwich, you know, just something to just kind of
smoothie.
I probably should and could smoothie. I do have one of those smoothie blender things, but I just don't be like, you know, I have to be honest. I know I don't eat right because it's just lazy. Because it's just like I don't cook enough because I don't like to clean up the kitchen. And I don't like to like, so I just stay out of there altogether. Lights just be off. And I know that's terrible, but that's just the truth. Of my existence. Okay. I just have no interest in washing dishes, so I just don't use them. And that's just the way I live my life. And I'm trying to do better. But yeah, the smoothie thing, because then you got to wash it out. So y'all have to pray for me. I'm really trying to just at least drink water and take my vitamins, have some fruit, have some emergency, have some granola, have something disposable that I can put in the trash can on my way out of the door, and not have to wash any dishes. But if anybody has any suggestions or things, you know, that I might, you know, that might help me on my quest to be an adult, that's welcome. But I'm just telling you the truth that in Black women's self-care, I have been paying more attention to having more of a routine and not waiting until lunchtime to eat.
That is self-care, and that's actually really, really important. I'm right there with you trying to set up routine. Crystal Jean, I don't yogurt. I don't like it. But Crystal Jean put me onto a nice homemade cashew yogurt recipe.
It's a consistency thing.
Yeah.
And I don't yogurt all that much because it's more granola than yogurt.
Same.
It's like granola with like a shot of
Same.
Yogurt. So it might as well not even
I like
yogurt.
It chunky. It's like potato salad, actually.
I'm just like I
use the yogurt.
It's kind of just like cereal, but not as
yeah good. No, same. I use it like mayonnaise and potato salad, not too much, just enough to wet it. So the cashew yogurt is nice because it doesn't have that something about yogurt. I just don't like yogurt. So the cat,
and I also don't have like certain appliances. My kitchen is super small. Like I don't have a dishwasher, I don't have a microwave.
Same.
So like those kind of like, you know, already made foods that you can just like, I don't really fare well with those because it's like, girl,
I don't have a microwave by choice.
I mean, I would have one if I had space for one. I haven't had one since I've lived in this apartment, and I guess you could say I've come to live without it, but that does not at all mean that the very first opportunity I have to have a microwave again, I'm all up in that thing.
You're like, oh, it's mine.
Oh, turn it. Let's do it. Let's do it right away.
Well, that is Black Woman Self-Care this week.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Fresh fruit has really been good for me. But yes, Black Woman Self-Care this week. Let us know what you've been doing.
Fresh fruit is actually really amazing. You know, berries are very high in antioxidants.
Yes, but I'm also high in sugar. So I just have to be very, very careful. I can't just fruit myself to death.
No, well, you can't fruit to death.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
but if you
know,
smoothie,
overdo it. Then if you overfruit, though, you can't overfruit.
But if you just smoothie, then you can do some fruit, some veggie, some, you know, some protein.
I have to really pray about that.
We're just going. We're going to pray collectively that you know, because it's just a small little, your little nutrient, like zzz, and then you put some hot water in it, and it really just literally takes like 45 seconds to wash. I promise.
But then, like, whatever I drink it out of, I also have to wash that.
That's another 45 seconds out of your day.
That's so much time. Either way. Thank you, guys. Let's move on. What is it we have to do?
Petty peeves.
Petty peeves? Okay.
Let's move on swiftly.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
All right, it's time for the petty peeves. And at this point, mine is a saga, okay? It clearly continues. It is Jade versus the delivery people. And I don't know what the problem is. My petty peeve is not... I actually hate the young woman who was supposed to deliver my food this evening. So, you know, had to record last night. We have to record this night. Had things going on, so I didn't get to cook. Usually I'll order my groceries, and then that way I'm able to prep through the day and do things. But unfortunately, the last couple of days didn't pan out like that. Ordered some Postmates, and... I ordered it, and my order was confirmed at 6:05. By like 6:30, it was not. I mean, by 7:30, it was not here. So I was like, "Well, it's taking a little long. This is not far. Like, what's going on?" So I go and look at the app, and I see that the Postmate is in Williamsburg, which is not close to the restaurant and not close to me. And then I see that the Postmate is in Ridgewood, which is Queens, technically, right there at the border of Bushwick, which is Brooklyn and Queens. Then I see the Postmate is on the BQE. And then they're in Long Island City in Astoria. And I never got my food. So they said the food was picked up, but it was never delivered. And she was in the polar opposite direction of where I was. So, you know, I hit them on Twitter, because you have to do it like a white woman in order for them to pay you any attention. And I screenshot in my joint and to show them, like, look how far this girl is. This is absolutely asinine. Postmates also happens to be one of the advertisements on my other podcast, The Iron in Those Knees. So sent them, told me DM them, DM'd them, did all of that. After time had passed, it's 2.5 hours and your girl still don't have any dinner. And I got to get my kid ready for bed and get her ready for school the next day. So I'm pissed. So the dude calls me from Postmates. You can't call them, but they can call you. So he calls me and he's like, unfortunately, we can't get in touch with the Postmate. No, I already told you idiots that you can't get in touch with the Postmate, because I couldn't get in touch with the Postmate. She's not answering the phone, nor is she answering text messages. If she took my food, picked it up, and then went to Queens, what makes you think she's going to answer your phone calls? Well, sometimes we find that our Postmates have emergencies and they have to. Are you trying to give me a maybe this happened? So that I can feel better about the fact that 2.5 hours later, we ain't got no dinner up in this bitch, because you're not selling me. I don't care. I was like, I don't know what happened to this girl. You're making up stories to try to make this better, but you're making it worse because it's pissing me off. I'm going to issue you a credit and a refund. The refund will be back in your account within 1 to 3 business days. You won't be charged for this order. I better not be charged for this order. So I go and look to see what kind of credit they applied to my account. Because also, there was no other Postmate available to pick that order up again for them to redo it, which I don't fully believe. I just think they didn't want to be responsible. And Postmates issued me a hearty $5 credit to my account, knowing that I sent them a screenshot of their Postmate in Queens, which is nowhere near Flatbush. So
What a time.
That is the continuation of Jade versus the food delivery people. Again, I would like to shout out Instacart. You all have nothing but my love and loyalty. I've never had any issues from you ever. Where is the wood? What's your petty peeve?
So I guess mine is also a continuation from my last petty peeve, because I am also I'm continuing my ongoing complaint about trifling people at dinner. Yesterday was Endurance Day, and I really struggled to endure.
Yeah,
it was really hard workout. It was really like, usually I'm able to just kind of push through, but I found myself stopping like several times during each block. But my last block was on the floor doing the strength training, and I was like, all right, we just got to get through this last 20 minutes or so and we're home free. And when you're at your station at Orange Theory, you have a set of weights. Now, the even numbered stations have weights, you know, like it's like eight pound dumbbells, 10 pound dumbbells, 12 pound. Now, if you're odd stations, that's when you can get like a, you know, a odd dumbbell. So if you need a 15 pound dumbbell versus a 12. So the onus is on you as the gym goer. So when you come in and they ask you what station you want to start, if you know that you typically lean toward, you know, the 15, 25, 35 pound weights, then you need to pick an odd numbered station. So of course, because I am, you know, dainty, I don't really bang with the heavyweights. So I'm like, girl, go ahead and give me these little eights and tens. That's really all I'm here to do. I'm not trying to be big and strong. I just want to be snatched. So I'm at station 14, the very last station in the room. As I like to work out by the wall. it's really a part of me not wanting to be around strangers. It's one less person I have to contend with if I work out by the wall. So the young lady who was at station 13, I'm looking for my 12 pound weight dumbbells, and this bitch got them. And I'm just standing there like, now, gym etiquette, gym protocol. Like, if I, you know, I understand that these things happen. Sometimes you want to get to your even number station and they're all taken by the time you get there. The proper thing to do is to ask the person next to you, can I borrow your 12s for this set? You know what I'm saying? You don't just impose yourself. You don't steal somebody's weights. But that's what Molly did.
Yeah, she did. I knew it was Molly.
I looked right over there. Molly had, the first workout, you just needed one Debo. No, I don't know what she had because her hair was in a ponytail. But Molly, it was the first workout was one arm, like it was a lateral raise on one, whatever. So you just needed one. Mm-hmm. You just needed one. So I realized she had one of my 12s. And I was like, okay, maybe I was, you know, in the throes of this workout and she didn't want to distract me by asking. So when I went over there to get to my weight station and I looked her dead in her face like, bitch, you got my 12? And she would not give me any eye contact.
Of course not.
I'm literally standing in front of the thing, and she goes back to get the other 12 and reaches around me. It took all of the prayers of both of my grandmothers.
Oh, no.
For me not to take the weight that was in my hand and go clean across her face.
Because may I ask a question? Orange yes. Theory, okay, mm-hmm. which I know is full of mollies, is a circuit training gym. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right.
It's like HIIT training. So like, you know, you go from one thing to the other. But, you know, when you're in, we were in the floor station. We were there together. We were going to be there for the next 12 minutes. But they give you, like, you get... Like, let's say in every block, the block was 5 minutes. That means that you do, you know, 10 reps of each of the workouts on the screen. And then you kind of repeat that until your time is up.
And so Molly just took it upon herself.
Molly took it upon herself to Bogart my 12, my 12 pound dumbbell. She did not ask. She knew that I was looking for her to acknowledge the fact that she stole it. She would not And then she like reached around me like I wasn't even
standing
there.
Bitch, you
know
you see my big black face. Like, stop it right here.
This is what I'm saying. I'm like, I am the biggest and blackest thing in this room. There's no way. There's no way that you're going to tell me you don't. I am 5'10".
Key is tall boots, okay?
I'm 5'10". And right now, I am knick-knocking on 200 pounds. So don't tell me you ain't see me. Ain't no goddamn way in the world you ain't see me. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. But that is a thing that they do. Like, you know, they act like you're like just you're not there. There.
It drives. When I tell you, it's it drives
me. It don't matter. It don't matter.
Nothing burns the bottom of my rice pot.
But at the end of the workout, right, my coach was like, at the end of the workout, if you're working out next to somebody that you don't know, introduce yourself. So I look at her like, say nothing to me. Don't part your lips. I'm looking dead at her like, please do not. And she's like, great workout. And I'm just looking at her like...
I would have been like, you talking to me? You see me now.
You did great. I'm like, you see me now?
Oh, you see me now.
Oh, now you see me. Oh, now you want to look at me?
Bet. I'm going to see you outside, it's Molly.
It is just hard. It is so hard. It is so hard to just be in this body sometimes.
I know.
Because, you know, there are times where you are hyper-visible and there are times when you are invisible.
Yeah.
And it's like... I don't know, but it's really a challenge because I don't want to walk around and be bitter and angsty.
Of course.
But I that's not my spirit. I don't feel like that's who I am, but I just don't feel like these things happening to me. It can't all be in my head. It's not a coincidence that I keep getting treated like this by certain people. And I'm just like, what do I have to do in order for y'all to just acknowledge that, you know? What would have caused Molly to just kind of get my attention and say, can I borrow your 12s? Well, I would have never told her no.
You have to start doing outlandish things. You have to start like Godzilla screaming in the middle of the gym, like, just forbid. Like, do you have my attention now? You got your attention? Give me my 12. That's what you have to do. I used to do that to my mother.
That's really a thing.
No, I used to do that to my mother when I was a teenager, and she would be like, there's no way you could ever embarrass me. And I was like, you want to put 10 on 20? Like, you want to bet on that? And, yo, I used to do wild shit in public just...
Oh, it's really a
just
thing.
Just to get
it's
my like, mother's girl, bra. What? You can do it, though. I will teach you the ways in which...
It really just, it gets my goat, man. It really does. Because I like to be pleasant. You know, I'm not, you know, I like, hey, everybody. Yeah. You know, I'm not.
Same.
I'm not that girl.
That's why I get irrationally angry. I get it.
I just feel like I am being continuously tried.
I just don't understand.
And I don't know whether I wasn't paying attention before it was happening. I was just oblivious to it. Or it's just like something has changed in this age, this society, this time where people just feel like they can just be trash. And you're just supposed to accept it.
The Tommy Laurens of the world are the problems.
Have you seen that young lady?
Yes, I have. I know exactly who you're talking about.
The young lady who does these videos.
For she's been popping up on my shit all day.
Yes, but did you see little Jacob got her together?
Is he the one who told her that? Is that the little white boy?
The little white boy was telling her about
the prison. Yes, he did. She said, well, how do these systems, how do they affect people of color? And he's like, oh, let's talk about it. Mass incarceration. He's like, we got.
I mean, he didn't even flinch. He just went on and on and on about just calling out all the ways. But you know, what that really says to me, more than anything, is that there are so many people who really believe that this is not a thing. And they feel like they are privileged in their position and they can just not have to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, girl, I would have taken those 12s if it was another white girl. I don't believe so.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I believe that.
I'm fine with the Angelinas and the Brads. Like, they're fine to me. You know, because they understand the plight and what's going on. They're not blind to it. But the Mollies and the Zacks and the Brents, those are the ones I can't with.
I mean, and we are all going to have to work collectively and collaboratively to, you know, dismantle and eradicate, you know, the system, the systemic racism, you know, that is this still very much the fabric of American society and culture.
Yeah.
Like cotton, like white tees, like it's just is. And I think it is it's irresponsible and ignorant mm-hmm. of us to think that we would just be able to overcome 400 years of oppression and slavery and the cattle slavery.
They choose, though.
There's
they
no
choose
way.
To be. Martin Luther King said it, okay? And we understand that it is his birthday. Hello. Martin Luther King was still a hoe. well, but we all have our demons. Martin Luther King said it, though. There's nothing more dangerous than willful ignorance. And, you know, dot, dot, dot. There's more to that quote. But so people like that little girl who also shat herself, apparently, at a fraternity party some years ago. You didn't know that?
Now, the Lord works in such a way. If you just let him do his work.
Did you see the video of the boy?
No.
One of the guys who she tried to go up with one of her bullshit ass questions. She walked into him with the microphone and he was like, huh? And he answered and he was like, okay, so can I ask you a question? And she's like, sure. And he's like, aren't you the girl who shit herself at the Kent State party? And she was like, I don't know why you're bringing that up right now. That's not. Yeah, no, there's a pit. Like this girl and oh, man, it. I don't know what she ate before that party.
Oh, there's a picture of her.
Sis, oh, sis, no. There is evidence. Oh, this girl word. Is face oh. down at a Kent State party. Oh. And she. Oh.
Was she drunk?
It had
she
to have
been under the. She bit. Under the. She was on Molly.
Molly was on Molly.
Molly was on Molly.
Child, she was on everything because. What did Mike Epps. Weed, syrup, cigarettes. I'm on everything. I'm on everything. Oh, no. She was on everything. And my girl shit herself like an elephant at the zoo. Baby, almond joys and mounds. Like, so that's why I know it's disgusting, but it's what happened. So I just love the fact that people will call her out in her little bullshit ass.
I'm so glad. These videos are just as they are as entertaining as they are.
They are. They are.
But yeah, either way, that's a very we can went on a bit of a tangent are. There, but those are the petty peeves. We appreciate you guys for listening to another episode of Getting Grown. Sorry for the hiccup. You know, it's been a while since we've had some technical difficulties, so it I happens. Guess we're due. Hopefully that will be you know, the last one of 2020. We just got it on out mm-hmm. the way. In the meantime, in between time, y'all continue to keep it locked and keep listening. We're going to be launching some new and improved things on the Getting Grown social media.
Yes, we are.
Coming soon. And we got some cool things coming up all related to all things Getting Grown. So yes, please, please, please join us, you know, week after week as we sit around the kitchen table and talk about grown up mm-hmm. things.
And tell them what they need to do with themselves.
Continue to drink your water because that's very important. It keeps your blood pressure mm-hmm. down. Always want to mind the business that pays you.
Yes.
And you also want to stay moisturized, even though this weather is, you know, not exactly. Actually, I heard the cold is coming. So, yes, moisturize. Yes. Yes. And you know why you need to moisturize? Why? Tell them why. It's very important, sis.
Because your black will crack if it's dry and you too will shit yourself at a Kent State party.
Oh,
bye.